This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I'm just going to throw it straight over to Siwa, who's come today to talk about Tongan culture, but talk about some specific relationships between lashing and tattooing, canoe building and house building, and some of the concepts around that. So I'll throw it straight over to Siwa. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for this... this opportunity, and maybe our ancestors are not very happy for me to talk about them this morning. This is a continuation of a talk I gave at the National Gallery early this year, and this is like an expansion of the same theory on Moana theory. In relation to tattoos, lashing, house and boat buildings. And I will deliver the same speech in Sydney, this talk today in August this year, and I will probably modify a few things. I have developed and modified a few things since my last talk at the National Gallery. I'll very quick with, there are some theoretical background of this talk, but I'll skip through very quick. There is this new theory by Mahina, which he called Moanan theory of Ta and Ma. And he claimed with his first student, Ka'ili, who followed him, that it's a very typical way of looking at reality by ancient Tongan people, especially when they translate the idea of time and space from philosophy and science to the Tongan context, and there are some coexistence, some connection there, some similar view to reality as it was developed in the West. So also they also claim that form is the abstract concrete dimension of time, and then which is four in Tonga. We have the same definition in Tonga with form, and then they also claim that content is the concrete dimension of space. And if we go back, vice versa, we go from content to space, and we go from form to time, as you will, or as you read through this short briefing, this abstract. They didn't point out a clear connection with the theory of space-time and the categories that was first developed by Aristotle. They touch in their development, they mention, but not clearly define as I'm trying to do in part of my work. That there are some connection in their development, and they develop some of the idea about Ta and Va, or time and space, in line or out from the Western, classical Western theory of space-time, and the categories were started by Aristotle, by the Hellenistic scholars, medieval, some of them, and mainly in our time by Immanuel Kant, Hiko, Alexander, and John Anderson, both Australians. Australian philosophers. So what I'm trying to do in this talk is to fit in or to relate the whole idea of Ta and Ma, space and time, and form and content, for and space, and how they can fit in, and how to lashing and the arts, that four kinds of cultural arts. Interestingly, I have come across that we have the same definition of form as it is in the West, and it was as it was developed from the Greeks. We explain form, and we have different words about form, exactly the same meaning. And also content, we have variety of words, the same meaning. Ta, the same meaning. Time, the same meaning. Va, space, the same meaning. And you will see as we go through how I relate them, the ta and va and fu and yuho, how they are culturally rearranged by Moana people. We are different from culture to culture because of how we perceive time and space and how we rearrange it. We arrange it differently according to how we view of time and form of things and space and content. In the West, they view, they rearrange time and space, which is a natural phenomena in according to their upbringings and some of the natural and social settings they are growing up. So that's why we are different, and I will clarify that in my talk. So this one here, the last, the third paragraph, that's the one that's very important. Ta and va, it's related to the doctrine of ontology, how things are exist, how things exist in society and nature. And also it has an epistemological site, which how it relates, how it's being used, how ta and va are rearranged according to the cultural setting. So it has an ontological aspect. It also have an epistemological aspects as well. Why Moana? Okay. We develop also, and there are some movement in New Zealand. We are used Moana instead of the word Pacific. And here are some of the reasons why we claim the term Moana to be a term that can explain and also reflect how these Polynesian people or Polynesian, Micronesian, Melanesians arrived in Oceania, in Moana, and also for various reasons, as you have seen. We have a very strong reason why we claim that we are Moanan people. Moana was probably the first term was used for us. The term Pacific is okay, but it doesn't really reflect some of the fundamental truths of our island histories. Helu claims the name Samoa to be originated from Sa and Moana, people, lineage of Moana, which are Moanan in Tongan also. However, explain Moana or ocean as sea of violence. Moanan, Tongan, Ta, and Ma, time and space, Mahine's Moanan general theory. So Ta, some of the Tongan and Moanan definition or explanations of Ta and Ma. Time maker, to mark time, to be, to form. Ta fiver, to perform a dance. Ta fafangu, to strike a bell. With wa is space, space between, social relationships, social spatial relationships, space that relates. Faiva, to perform, to do rhythm in space. Tauhiva, tauhivaha, they are very fundamental terms in Tongan Moanan culture. To maintain beautiful and peaceful relationship, takavaha, to be at sea, and so forth. There are some proverbs, as you see. Just few concepts Tufunga and Fiverr. That's Tufunga, our term for visual art. And performing or performance art is our Tongan term for it is Fiverr. So what I'm going to talk about, they are all aspects or components of Tufunga. There's this broader sense, a work of art with its structure and function producing outside the artist himself or herself within the ta and ma of material medium, articulating by its unique form, flow, and content, and nuho, as I briefly mentioned before. So this is how they put, it's like ta is equal flow, and va or space is equal nuho. One is the abstract dimension of the other, and ta or va is fuo or uho are the concrete dimension of ta and va. Tufunga is literally derived from the prefix tu, to beat. That's also interesting in Tongan culture. You have a prefix like to, tu. They are almost having the same meaning. To, tu, ta, to break, to cut, to shake, to articulate, to form. So Tufunga is literally derived from the prefix to beat or shake something, and the root word funga, mount or peak. Also, there is a narrow sense of the word, which will come on the other side. But there are some important ideas there that come in. Symmetry. When we create a work of art, a tufunga or a fiver in Tongan art or Moanan art, the whole purpose, there is this qualitative nature and also there is a functional, utilitarian function. So there is this concept to make it beautiful with some of the concepts that you can see to produce a symmetry, the Tao, harmony, but the Tao and beauty. And when you have those elements that give rise in the context of Tongan dance to warmness, to mafana, happiness, fear, and excitement, extreme excitement, Tao Elangi, reach the sky in Tongan dance. So if you don't have the first elements, even in Tufunga, even in material art, if you don't have the symmetry, the tatau, the harmony, the potpotatau, or the balance, then you won't have beauty. Then you won't affect or influence the view of the viewers. So some of the narrow definition, to beat tempo or rhythm in material medium, medium for ta, and for fiber, the other part of our art, a work of art, this is in contrast to Tufunga, as I mentioned, the material arts. Fiber, a work of art with its structure and function producing with the participation of the artist himself or herself, producer within the ta and va and so forth. So we have Tufunga and Fiver. Tufunga, material art. Fiver, this one here, it's about dances, performing or performance art. I won't talk about Fiver today. I will, as I mentioned before, I will talk mainly about Tufunga. This is the theory of space, time, and the categories, which in my work I try to expand and elaborate. That's where Okusi, Mahina, and Kaili partly developed their theory. If not, there are some connection there, which the traditional view theory of space-time and the categories. And if you can see, there are differences, main difference in how they rearrange the statement itself. This is how it's spelled or it's written in the West. Space, time, and the categories. With Mahina and Kaili, it's time and space. The reverse, it's ta and va, but they haven't discussed the categories, which is a part of my work, and I've developed it on this paper, but we won't talk about it because of the discourse of time. This is just an explanation, connection of four, and Wuho and Ta and Ma. The first paragraph is from John Anderson. And if you can see quickly, the explanation in the first paragraph from John Anderson, the second one is from Mahina. But they're talking of the same thing. How Bega was a student of John Anderson, the first paragraph. How he explained, Bega explains time and space and four, or form and content, very similar to how Okusi explained it from a Moanen perspective. So that's very interesting for me because, as I mentioned before, there are real connection, even though Mahina and Kaili didn't mention or discuss in details categories and also how they got the idea of form equals to time and content equals to space. Before we move on to mainly photos and few explanations, I want to finish, you know, this first part of the talk with this person, Philippe Tohi. He is the master artist of lashing, and he has developed a few artworks like sculptures, traditional patterns, new traditional patterns out from his study and his works on lashing. Mahina and Philippe Dohi argue that lashing, the patterns of lashing or kupesi, they were the original patterns for Moana people prior to the patterns on potteries, which in contrast to some of the archaeological and anthropological suggestions, which they believe our patterns came from pots. With Mahina and Kaili, they believe in some of their arguments, our patterns came from Lalava, from Tufunga, Lalava, Tufunga, Lalava, Leshing. Also, Kohi or line, Tohi relates or equates that Kohi or line to ta and form, because for him, Kohi marked the form of this line. The line, the kohi, defined the forms of this portal. And with our four arts that I'm talking about today, lashing, tattoos, boat and house fire buildings, for him, it's about line kohi between space. But the kohi, according to how we Tongan and Moana rearrange space and time differently from the West, differently from the East. Also, I have developed by observing the four arts that there is always the principle of curve. With our, this is how one view of us, how we arrange things. Straight line for the Tongan, for Moana people, doesn't work in the Western context. Even in talking, even in our poems, even in our songs, going straight, it's very taboo. It's disrespectful to go straight. This is our straight line. That's how we perceive reality. And in all things, name, most of the creation, cultural creations in our history, for how many centuries, this is what we call straight line, the curve. And it applies to how we interact in society. Also, there is spiral. Spiral is very important. It's another side of develop out from curve. There is also secular, which is very similar to curve, and also reflection. Reflection in the four arts I'm going to talk about, very important. Curve, spiral, reflection. Everything is to be reflected, either genealogically from one body to another body, from one work of art to another work of art, or within a body to reflect things. Very important. Also, Tohi himself discovered in our patterns, our kupesi, in the lalava, in the tattoo, in the haka, in the dance, that there's always this principle of 60, 30 degrees for female and 45 for male. So if you see a design that it's 45, that's a male design, male pattern, male kupesi. If you see a pattern or kupesi which is 60, 30, that's a female one. Gender, very important for our culture. Always make sure, ensure that they are equal, male and female. The dominance of male was something that introduced later during Western contact. It's the opposite of what we develop in our culture. Also, in dance, you can find the 60-45 principles there. For women, when they haka in Tongan and dance, it has to be, this is how they fool, they passi, they clap. 30, 60. They never go out from this boundary. They can do their haka, make sure that it's going around through 30, 60 for female haka. That was explored by Tohi and Mahina. For male in our haka, 35, this is how we fool. 45 rather, 45. And you, later on, will see that our male pattern, kupesi, are 45. It's very interesting how you see there are some connections. They develop in the past. No art in Tongan Moanan history or culture was isolated from the other. We have found in our work the connection of one art, individual art, to another art, either in the context of tufunga or in the context of faiva. But today we are just talking about tufunga. Start with tufunga tattoos. Tatatau in Tongans. And I mentioned before the principle. Tatatau means to beat identically, equally, proportionally, or symmetrically based on line space, kohiva, in the section. Always in the days, always in the sections in our material and also in our physical arts. Using of red, kula, and male black uli. Black for women is a color for women and kula for men. And also you can follow the 60-45. If you see, this is a Hawaiian traditional design, kupesi. If you see, you will hardly find any of those kohi line that are 45. They are confined to around 30 and 60 degrees. And where's the leash? We talk about curve, the principle of curve. Oh, okay. Okay, we talk about the curve principle. We talk about, you see a lot of curves, based on curves. Also, we talk about spiral, circular, reflection. If you draw a line here, this side is exactly the reflection of this side. And you can see that repetition, it's either within body, reflect, or genealogically it's called the same tattoos I got, the same tattoos, no, traditionally speaking, the same tattoo she got, it was the same tattoo her mother and her grandmother got, if we're talking about traditional tattoos. It's either body to body or within body genealogically. So X is Y. Y is X. It's the idea of the reflection. Also, at the same token, we have stratification of patterns. There are patterns in modern culture for commoners. There are patterns for chiefs. There are patterns for kings. And that's what I meant when we talk about on the vertical hierarchy, there are classifications of patterns according to society and to nature, according to social structure. When we go on the horizontal level, it's like we are all equal. So in our own system, we have on horizontal level, everyone is equal. Everyone belongs to the same to individual tribes. When we talk about the vertical dimension, there is the tu'i, the female king, and there is male king, chiefly woman, chiefly men, and then go down in the social structure. This is a Samoan pe'e. Again, with the same principle of curve, the same principle of reflection. This side here is exactly the same pattern on the other side. You just half inside here, the line in the middle demarcate one side from the other, and the right is the reflection of the left with traditional patterns. We no longer have that in Tonga. It was banned. Tattoos was banned in 1838. And it's revived now, but we lost the ceremonies in Tonga, unlike the Samoans. The Samoans, they still have the ceremonies. They still have the tribal tattoos, which can go from body to body. We don't have that. We revive, but we just follow some of our existing traditional patterns or kupesi. That's the only surviving Tongan tattoo that we still got. That's a Tongan tattoo by Deville, one of Captain Cook's painters. So it's not much different from the Samoan pe'e. With our Tongan women, we didn't find any clear tattoos. We had tattoos, but just few small species, creatures on their hands, palms, not on the body. Different from the Samoan and others, the Samoans, they have the malu, the women, they have the kupesi here, repetition of kupesi, like some of the ideas I talked about before. That's a more than, still traditional kupesi, but more than designs or more than tattoos. And you can see there, most of us, because we didn't know that it has to be in a mirror, reflection nature, there is no reflection there. He got the curves, he got the some of the traditional kupesi. Look at this here. This is 45-45. This is called in Tonga Manulua, and in Samoa, Manulua as well. This kupesi is very old kupesi. 45-45. This one here, Tokelau Whiretoa, a lot of 60-30 degrees. These are two birds. This is the abstract. That's what I meant. This is the abstract. This is how we look at things and how we draw things in the past. We look at it not on its concrete form, appearance, but into the abstract nature, dimension. These are two birds. One, two. Lua means two in Samoan, Manu'ua in Tongan. One, two, but this is a bird in its abstract form. How we look at things, our artists in the old days, they look at things in the abstract form. Tufungalanga Whare house building, the same principle as I mentioned before, that was painted by one of Captain Cook's painters. Also, if you see the post, always in Tongan house, or in the old paintings, always four posts. No more than four posts, that Tongan house. Either it's a big house or a small house, always four posts. More than that were Samoans, and there are social implications of that. The four posts, they are four men carry the king. The ceiling here with those beams, it's called in Tonga Fata. Normally, that's where the king sits. And there is a traditional kupesi pattern called Fata, develops out. You can see, when you see from this side, you can see this is how the social structure of Tongan society in the old days. You have people carrying the Fata where the chiefs and the kings are, if you look this way. If you look vertically, if you look horizontally, you will see the same principle of reflection. You can see the same principle of curve, spiral, the same. But they also have social implications as well, as I partly mentioned. That's just a household. The other house before was like a national or village house or chiefly house, huge one. Again, Captain Cook, this is a normal household painting, and you can see the same principle apply. Also, you have the kafa there, the leshing. I forgot to mention in the first house, the leshing developed, but they found in the old days mainly chiefly houses and only houses of the kings where there was traditional lashings. That's a Whare Pacifica in New Zealand. That's lashing by, always look at the color, is always black and red, black and red. These are not Tongan's house. They call it Whare Pacifica. You can see there are more than four posts, which a Samoan house. But the leshing was done by Philippe Tohi. And he is the only one who got the knowledge and the skills around in the Pacific cultures. I was there last year, and there are a few things that are missed from this house. The lessons is just the bottom fata. And also in the lashing, very importantly, within our lashing, there are alphabets, there are languages there, which you will see later, that he developed, Philippe Doy developed that language. He finally, it took him 12 years solidly to try to work out, because there was this idea when he studied lashing, that there was something hidden by the artists. Because in Tonga, knowledge, as you might aware of, passed through the genealogy. It is genealogical, through the tribe. So the knowledge of Lalaba, of lashing, was hidden for thousands of years within that tribes, or that lineage, or that ha. Philippe was an outside person who studied lashing, and finally he found out after 12 years, according to him, solid study of lashing, he found out the alphabet. Because lashing, it's very hard for us to read, but when you understand the language, there is language, there's written stuffs, there is alphabets, there is words that explain. As you enter to a house of a chief, those people who can read the lashing, the readings, you can just look at the lashing and you can read it. And most of the Tongans, we don't know, have no idea of the alphabet or the words in the lashing. This, I'll just pass it. You can pass it around. These are the language or the writings of the lashing in Tonga, being hidden there for how many years until Philippe. And still, the experts of the lashing ha'a, the lineage, they still never haven't talked about anything up to these days. This is Tufunga Lalaba, the lashing. Now, I will just skip through because we have, you know, talked about most of the concepts before. You can see here the black and the red. And when he lashes, the red will represent male kupesi, male patterns, and the black will represent female kupesi. That's a sculpture he develops out from one of the traditional kupesi, Tokelau Feledoa. And they look different when you look from different angles. Boat building. Tufunga Fo'uwaka. The same as I mentioned before. And you can still see when I study our kalia and our boat, they are developed also from the same principles I mentioned before. They normally create a new one exactly the same, repeating the idea of repetition, the styles, the mirror, the same. With that, that's the tongyaki. That's the one of the kalia, the known kalia that the Tongans use in the old days, tongyaki. It travels up to Melanesia, different eastern Hawaii, and we have oral traditions and myths that's related to some findings of archaeologists and anthropologists, and there are some which they are not related in explanations. Let's see how they believe the Pacific or Moana was settled. Some of those arrows I don't agree, and some of the dates. but it's not my. This is by Mahina and in some of our works. This is a book. There are a series of myths for children. Some of our works coming out. They are going to be launched in New Zealand this year. But this is a cover of one of the books. This is how we look at things in an abstract form. And you can find this. This is Kali, a double canoe, double hull. That's how we, and in our tapa, if you look at our tapa, you will see how we draw things in the past. We didn't really concern with the details, with the contents. That's very Eastern Polynesian. Western Polynesian, we just more concerned with the shape, the form. And that's the abstract dimensions of the Lomi Piau. Lomi Piau was one of the main kalia for the Tuitonga. It was believed some of the stones that were brought to build the royal tombs, about 30 royal tombs in Tonga, were brought from Futuna and Uvea by the Lomi Piau. And you can see also on your left, you see there the Manulua. You see there the Manulua I talk about. Manulua, two birds. It's very common, all those small patterns, bits and pieces on Tongan art. It's just the main kupesi here is Manulua. And this is the Lomi Piau. That's a Tongiaki seen by Tasman in his trip to Tonga, the Tongiaki. The same, remember, it's all lashed. The same principle I mentioned before. This is a fishing boat, canoe. This is in front of the main island, Tongatapu. That's another Tongiaki, the same Tongiaki that I showed you before. That's a development in Hawaii and Tahiti, the Hokulea. It's the revival of what they used to call in the old day, pahi. Pahi, this is the main kalia they use. For us, Tongiaki. For them, the pahi. For the Fijian and some Melanesian, Nurua, which almost looks the same. If you can see, this is their pahi, a revival of pahi. A lot of the principles I mentioned before are there. And it looks beautiful. It has that qualitative nature as well. I'll show you some of, to finish up this talk, I'll show you some of our royal tombs. That's Langi Namoala, Namoala Royal Tomb. These are some of the stones that were brought from nearby Tonga and also from Uvea and Futuna. This is a small Langi, but that's the cemetery of his late prince Tuipilehake and his wife, Princess Pilokomana, Kaimana, that they died last year, I think, or the year before. They were buried on the top of that Langi. That's Langi Pai Pai o Te Lea. This Langi here, it's one of the, that still have its good shape and form. Langi Pai Pai o Te Lea was believed that most or all of these were brought from Uvea and Futuna through the Lomi Piau, named after the Tuitonga, the king of Tonga at the time, Te Lea, or Uluaki Mata, Uluaki. Langi Malu Atonga, Malu Atonga Royal Tomb. 1, 2, 3, 4 layers. And when we also have one of the main kupesi design in Tonga, stem from the lung as you look from the top down. And this is how it looks. That's one of their development in New Zealand by one of Philippe Stilton, Willie Losi. This is when you look from top down elevation on the top of our lung. Our lung are very similar to the Incas, the Mayans pyramids. They're always this flat top, and the same with us, and that's how it looks. And this is, we call this Whatai Tuitonga, the carrier of the Tuitonga, Kupesi, one of the most chiefly Kupesi in Tonga. That's the Langi to Fefafa, where the last Tuitonga from the old kingly line was buried, Laufiritonga, all in the old capital. That's the Hamonga Mau Motua, which was believed to be built before the Langi, some of the Langis I showed you. I would like to thank you all for being here today to listen and to watch some of the best and permanent productions of Moana minds and souls since ancient times up to our era. Special thanks is given to Mr. Aidan Blackshaw and the National Museum of Australia for giving me these opportunities to participate in the 2009 Waka Moana exhibition. It is a great honour, and I'm happy to continue working together with you in enhancing and sharing with Australia and the world the wisdoms of 1,000 years from our past masters in both Tufunga and Fiber Arts. I rest my case here just for now. Ofalahiat, love you all, and Mala, thank you very much.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.